Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder, and today we'll discuss the five kinos that are said on Tisha B'Av night following the reading of Megillas Eicha. Yesterday, we spoke about the purpose of reciting kinos on Tisha B'Av. In a nutshell, we said that it can better help us feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and mourn its destruction. Of course, for this to be effective, one must understand what he or she is saying. And that's why it's important to learn about the themes and messages of the kinos. But right now, hopefully hearing these words will put us in the right frame of mind during the 9 days. I'd like you to also consider revisiting these recordings on Tisha B'Av itself as an accompaniment to saying the kinos. In addition, I'd like to recommend my book, Meaningful Kinos, which has the text of all the kinos along with clear and concise explanations. The first kina that is said on Tisha B'Av night is titled Zechor Hashem Mehayalanu. You might remember that the fifth perek of Megillas Eicha starts with those words. And actually, if you compare this entire kina with Perek Hei, you'll see that many phrases are taken from that chapter of the Megillah. What the author of this kina did was use the starting line of each pasuk in Perek Hei, which describes some of the suffering that the Jews endured. Then the Paitan, the author of the kina, added a line explaining why that suffering happened, meaning what we did wrong that led us to be punished in that particular way. Let's look at how we did this. In the fourth stanza, the kina quotes these words from Megillas Eicha. Meimenu bekeset shasinu, that the Jews had to pay for water during the time of the Chorban. Normally, water is free. One just needs to take it from the river. But according to Rashi, the enemies would attack the Jews if they tried to draw their own water. Therefore, the Jews needed to spend the little money they had on something as basic as water. The Paitan then suggests a reason why Hashem let this happen. He says it was because the Jews had scorned the water-pouring ceremony on Sukkot, known as Nisach HaMayim. The Paitan is showing that Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Because the Jews sinned with water, Hashem punished them through water. The next line begins with the subsequent verse in Megillas Eicha. Al Tzavarenu Nirdafnu, that the Jews were chased by the enemy. Ibn Ezra explains that even when the Jews paid for water, the enemies would chase them to try to steal it back as they carried it home on their necks. Again, the Paitan suggests a reason that Hashem allowed the Jews to undergo this ordeal. Ki sinaschinam radafnu, because the Jews engaged in sinaschinam, baseless hatred. The Paitan connects the crime and the punishment using similar language. He says the Jews were pursued by their enemies because they had pursued sinaschinam. A few lines down, the kina says, Avadim mashluvanu, ki shiluach avadim bitalnu. We were ruled over by slaves because we refused to let our slaves go free after their years of servitude. Again, the beginning of that line is a direct quote from Perek Hei in Megillas Eicha. When it says that we were ruled over by slaves, the Ibn Ezra explains that previously Edom had been paying taxes to the kingdom of Yehuda. But now Edom is part of the ruling class, to whom the Jews are subservient. This kina explains that this was a fitting punishment to the Jewish people who didn't free their slaves after the time period prescribed by the Torah. Once more, their punishment was mida keneged mida for their sins. I'll give just one more example. The kina, quoting from Megillas Eicha, says, "Benafshenu navi lachmenu." The Jews needed to risk their lives to get bread. Rashi explains that the simple act of bringing in their crops was a dangerous endeavor because thieves would be waiting to attack them. According to the Paitan, Hashem allowed this to happen because the Jews of that time were stingy and they closed their hands to the poor. As I mentioned before, one theme of this kina is that the punishments that Hashem inflicts upon us correspond to our misdeeds. But another important theme is Tzidduk HaDin, that Hashem's judgment is just and correct. In many kinos of Tisha B'Av, we express anger and bitterness regarding our suffering. But it's essential that we start out with a perspective of Tzidduk HaDin. This is similar to the way that one responds to hearing of a death with the words Baruch Dayan HaEmet, Blessed is the true judge. In spite of the pain of bereavement, we acknowledge that ultimately Hashem is the true judge and has a reason for what he is doing. Similarly, we start the kinos with acceptance of Hashem's judgment. In this first kino, we admit that we deserve all of the calamities that have befallen us due to our actions. The second kino is said only when Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzei Shabbos. Since that isn't the case this year, we'll skip over this kino. Kino number 3 explains that the date of the 9th of Av was designated as a night of sorrow. The reason for this is that it was on this date when the spies who had scouted out the land of Israel when Bnei Yisrael were in the desert came back with their evil report. The Jews spent the entire night of the 9th of Av crying that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. As recorded in a famous Midrash, Hashem said, Tonight you are crying for no reason, but in the future you will have a reason to cry on this night. The lack of emunah that the Jewish people displayed at this time, as well as their lack of appreciation for everything Hashem had done, caused this date of Tisha B'Av to be selected as the time of many tragedies. This kina notes that 5 tragedies occurred on this date, including the destruction of both Batei Mikdash and the city of Yerushalayim being completely demolished. The 4th kina on Tisha B'Av night is based on a mashal, a parable, that Yechezkiel had told Bnei Yisrael in an attempt to stir them to do tshuva. In this mashal, Yechezkiel compared the northern and southern kingdoms of the Jewish people to 2 sisters whose names are Ohala and Ohaliva. These sisters were married to the same man whom they betray repeatedly. The sisters are unfaithful to their husband and defile themselves with many lovers. Yechezkiel continues that in the end, the lovers humiliate and debase the sisters. Through this parable, Yechezkiel was warning Bnei Yisrael to stop their infidelity to Hashem because it would result in retribution for them. But of course we know that the Jewish people continued worshiping idols and ignoring the mitzvos, and they were punished for their sins. That is where this kinah comes in, describing the punishments that the Jews suffered. The author melds the mashal and the nimshal, the allegory and its meaning, by having the 2 sisters, Ohala and Ohaliva, each assert that the fate of the Jews in its portion of Eretz Yisrael was worse than in the other area. The kinah begins with the words, Shomron kol titein metzauni, avoni la'eretz acheret yitzauni vanai. Shomron, which is the capital of the north, is crying out that its children were exiled. This is referring to the 10 tribes that were expelled from Eretz Yisrael and are now lost forever. The kinah continues with the response from the south. Bahaliba tizak nisrafu armonai, that Ohaliba cries because its palace was burned. This is referring to the destroyed Beis HaMikdash, which was located in Yerushalayim. The kinah continues with this back and forth between the sisters, describing the misery and anguish endured by the Jews in each area. Significantly, in this kinah, each sister accepts culpability in her outcome. The northern sister says, Ani Ohala Surah Bagadati Bakashi. I, Ohala, had rebelled through my stubbornness. To this, the sister responds that she also sinned. Meshiva Ahaliva Ani Kein Akashti. Once again, we see the concept of Tzidduk HaDin, that we deserve all of the suffering that we have undergone. This doesn't just apply to those Jews who sinned many years ago, but to us as well. Chazal tell us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt is considered responsible for its destruction. The final kinah that we say on Tisha B'Av is based on the Midrash that on Tisha B'Av, Hashem aligned all of the mazalos, the constellations, against the Jews. In this kinah, all of the mazalos now cry for the role that they played in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the constellations have no free will to determine their alignment. Instead, their configuration is determined by Hashem. This kinah is meant as a sort of kal vachomer, an a fortiori argument. If the constellations regret the part that they played in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when in fact they had no choice to act any differently, certainly we who choose to violate Hashem's commands, thereby preventing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, should feel remorse and resolve to do better. This is a theme throughout many of the kinos on Tisha B'Av. They show how our behaviors have led us to this point. It is our actions that resulted in the tragedies that we have been forced to endure. The message for us, of course, is to do tshuva. Tshuva isn't simply a side point of this sad day. It's the main point. Tisha B'Av isn't just a time to sit down and distantly remember the horrible events that happened in the past. Instead, we are meant to learn lessons from those events and apply them to our lives. Hopefully, if we do this, we can bring about the ultimate redemption in the near future. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This shiur is dedicated L'Iloi Nishmas Moshe ben Eliyahu, Moshe Williams, Alav HaShalom, who was Nifter B'Shem Tov Erev Shabbos Chazon, Ches Menachem Av Tafshin Pei Bet.